Ezekiel chapter 2, and I'm going to read over into chapter 3. I'm going to read just some excerpts from chapter 2, and just some little parts to give us an idea of what this is about without reading all the verses. This is early on, of course, in the writing of the book of Ezekiel, and God has spoken to Ezekiel and referred to him as son of man on a regular basis. And was giving him instruction as to what he wanted him to do. In the second verse of the second chapter of Ezekiel, it said, "The Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me," and it's when the Lord spake unto him, the Spirit entered into him. And in the third verse, it says, "I send thee to the children of Israel." That's who he was going to be preaching to or prophesying to. And down in the fifth verse, he says, "And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear." In other words, whether they pay attention to you or not. And he concludes that verse saying, "Yet I shall know that there has been a prophet among them." It doesn't matter whether they hear or not, they're going to know that the prophet's been among them, whether they pay attention to what you say or not. In the seventh verse, he says, "And thou shalt speak my words unto them." And of course, that's what he was supposed to speak, is the word of God. And that's what any prophet of that day or preacher of this day is supposed to do. And I want to read the entire ninth and tenth verses, and then the first three verses of the third chapter. He said, "And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mournings and woe." And I wanted to stop a moment. The roll he was talking about was a scroll as we know it, which rolls up on two sides, and that's the way that they had books in those days, because they didn't have pages for the most part. There was already some of those being made down in Egypt, but most places still had scrolls that they would roll up, and they would unroll one side and roll it up on the other side as they went through the writings that was in there. And so his hand appeared unto him and brought him this roll or scroll, and he said, and they spread it before him. In other words, they opened it up or they unrolled it before him, and there was writing inside and outside. In other words, it was full of writing. And there was writing therein lamentations and mournings and woe. Now, these are all negative sounding things. Lamentations means cryings or calling outs, and there was later a book written by the name of Lamentations by Jeremiah that just talked about the heartfelt difficulties that he was seeing with the nation of Israel. And so these were lamentations and mournings and woes. So what God was giving him to prophesy and to tell them was not going to be pleasant for them to have to listen to. But we understand, too, that it's the word of God, because these are the words of God that Ezekiel was supposed to speak. And then the third chapter starts out and says, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." Now, he wasn't talking about literally eating the scroll that was given. He was talking about digesting the information or the word of God that was in that, to take it into himself and to internalize it, that he might understand it and know it, so that he could speak it with authority, and he could speak it with the surety that it was God's word, that he was to know that. And that's the basis of what we want to speak to you about today, is to prepare and preach, that we have a responsibility as God's people to prepare ourselves in the knowledge of the Lord, and then to tell that to others and to share it with others. Oftentimes, people just know their experience or know their salvation experience and tell that to people, and that's well and good. But we are also to learn the ways of God, learn the path of God, learn the teachings of God, the doctrines of God, learn what he gives us to know so that we can apply that in our lives, and then through internalizing it or knowing it within ourselves, then we can authoritatively share it with others. Now, oftentimes we think of just the preacher doing this and just the preacher having the responsibility to present the Word of God. A man is called of God to do that specific work. But all of us have a responsibility to learn the Word of God and to present it to others, whether it be in our family or it be friends or neighbors or strangers that we might come in contact with. And so he was just telling Ezekiel, you take this information that I'm going to give you, even though that it was lamentations and mournings and woe. It was going to be something that the people would not want to hear. And they wouldn't want to hear it because they were in error. And he was going to try to correct the error. And so he was going to have to preach to them things that they didn't want to hear. And so he said, prepare yourself. Get yourself ready. Know this information. And be able to speak it because that you know that it comes from God. And so we want to look at that from a New Testament standpoint and the responsibilities that we have. And I put a lot of this on me as being responsibility of a preacher, that the preacher has. But this also flows over to other children of God also. In 2 Timothy, Apostle Paul writes him, and this is near the end of his life. Some people think that 2 Timothy was the last book that Paul wrote. Some think that he may have written another book after this one, but still it was right near the end of his life. He was in a prison, or at least house arrest in Rome before he was beheaded, and he had written several of the letters that we have in the New Testament from that situation. But he says in the fourth chapter, and the first verse in writing to Timothy, he said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, this is just coming to pass. I mean, of course, it's happened all down through time as far as that goes. But we are seeing that more and more in our times today. That people are turning to fables or to false stories rather than to the truth of God's word. And I see this regularly on television when I watched some religious programming, if you would, this week on the History Channel. Knowing that the History Channel and the people that have that, they believe in evolution, they believe in developmental processes down through time, and they also believe in just the development of religion down through time, that man has adapted to that as a way of trying to bring appeasement to himself. And so they try to make their religious programming quite often fit that model, and it eliminates faith from the ideas that they have, even though they try to use what they call scientific evidence, or they try to use archaeological evidence, or they try to use systematic thinking about trying to explain how things happen in the Bible. And more I see the false tales or the fables that they come up with as to how things came about, rather than just believing that God did it in the way that he's described it to be done. Now, certainly there's scientific evidence to indicate some of the things that God did that wasn't understood centuries ago that we can understand now. But God has used the creation that he has to bring things about so that it would cause things to occur that did occur. That's well and good. I have no problem with that. I keep hearing in the commentaries is that they think this is what happened. They think this. And when people think instead of have faith in what the Lord has said was right, then they get off into starting into stories and fables and things that are not necessarily according to God's word. And so he was telling Timothy, he said, you preach the word, you preach what God has said, just like Ezekiel was given the role. And he said, you internalize this, you take that in, and you digest it, and you understand it, and then you present that to the people. That's what Paul was telling Timothy, is that you take the word of God, and you present it, because it has things that it can do. And he listed some here that you preach it in season, out of season. You use it to reprove or to prove over and over and over again what is right in the sight of God. Use it to rebuke so that you use it to let people know what sin is. That's why the commandments were given, so that people would know what sin was. The gospel is to be used to tell people what sin is and so that they can know to repent from that sin and turn unto God. So you use it to rebuke people when they're in sin. And he said to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. To exhort means to lift up or to encourage. And that's what we have the responsibility to do, is take the word of God and to encourage people with all longsuffering. You have to keep on teaching and keep on teaching and keep on teaching, sharing the doctrines so that people will eventually grasp it, so that they will get it and internalize it, so that they will know what it is. That's one of the reasons I've been writing on Baptist beliefs in our bulletin, to give you just little glimpses and hopefully to remind those of you that already know about them, and to give those of you that don't know them that much a little bit of information about it as a starting point, because we just have to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it in order for us to internalize it, in order to, for us to understand it, and in order for us to believe it the way that we should, so that we can stand against the things that Satan would put forth, and those false tales and fables that will be presented to us as being, well, maybe this is the way that God did it. Maybe this, maybe this, maybe this. I think this, I think that. But God's word tells us the way it was, and the way that it is, and the way that it should be and will be. And so we need to present that on a regular basis to people, because that they will not endure sound doctrine. There are so many that we see that with. How many people, and I've talked to some this week, that are members of this church that yet have no interest in attending church, have no interest in, and really, they say, well, yeah, I know the Lord, I talk to the Lord, but they don't understand the importance of the community of the church and the effort that needs to be put in for their benefit as well as for the benefit of the cause of God. People will not endure sound doctrine. They'll not stick with it. And so they have to be presented the gospel over and over and over, and use it to rebuke them and to encourage them that they might seek after God's ways instead of their own ways, because they have itching ears that he made mention of. They have a desire to hear things that will justify their action and their lifestyle and the way that they want to act and the way that they want to conduct themselves, rather than the way that God wants us to conduct ourselves, that is best for us as well as best for his cause sake. So we have the responsibility to preach that gospel, or to share that gospel. The preaching is not necessarily always from the pulpit, but preaching the word is just sharing our testimony and sharing our knowledge about the Lord with others, whether it be on an individual basis or from the pulpit, and those that have that responsibility. Before that Paul had told Timothy that he needs to preach the word and these reasons for doing it. He had said earlier in this writing, in the second chapter of 2 Timothy, in the 15th verse, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. We don't have to prove ourselves to man, but we have to prove ourselves unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study and prepare so that we know what the word of God says, that we know what it means, and that we shouldn't be ashamed to share that with others. Rightly dividing the word of truth, the word dividing means to handle, rightly handling the word of truth, so that we know how to present it, that we know how to tell people how to be saved, that we know how to tell people what they need to do after they're saved, that they need to join the church, they need to take up their cross and follow the Lord, that they need to participate in the church activities and the things that God has said to do for us as a community in the church capacity in order to be able to serve Him. If people don't engulf themselves into the Word of God and into the church, then they're much more likely to be drawn off with these fables and the false tales, because people try to justify their life. They try to justify how they conduct their business. They can come up with all kinds of reasons that suits them, but it doesn't suit God in all aspects. And so we need to make sure that people understand and try to understand ourselves so that we can help people to make decisions in their life that are appropriate for their well-being and for the well-being of God's cause in this life, and handle the Word of God in the right way, as we should. The Apostle Paul also made the point in the 2 Corinthian letter, or 1 Corinthian letter, excuse me, when he was writing to them. He was talking about that he was a debtor to different ones, and he also talked about that in Romans. We'll get to that in a minute. But he says in the 1 Corinthian letter, in the 9th chapter, he says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. In other words, it's not for my uplift. It's not for me to be put up on a stage that people might see me. I don't get any glory out of that. For me, he's doing it for the cause of God. He said, I have nothing to glory of. He said, I didn't die for people's sins. I didn't pay the price on the cross. I didn't do all the things that Jesus did. I'm doing that to glorify Him. It's not for me. I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, he said, necessity is laid upon me. Now, everybody that is called to preach, a man that is called to preach by God, has a necessity placed on him to carry the gospel message out publicly to people. Every one of us that are saved also have a necessity to share our testimony and to share what God has done with us. We need to tell that, because that's the way that the gospel is spread, is by people who have experienced the results of the gospel in salvation telling somebody else. And to those that are called specifically to preach the gospel, then there is a necessity placed on them. And I understand what that necessity is, because I had that necessity placed on me when God called me. I went 6 weeks without telling it, without acknowledging it, publicly anyway. And I suffered tremendously in it, because God said, you've got a job to do and you need to do that. And when I shirked my obligation a time or two, or in places in my life, then God has chastised me for that. Only one time in my ministerial life have I ever refused to preach when I had an opportunity to. And God whipped me bad enough for that, and that was fairly early in my ministry, that I didn't want to have to suffer that again, because I realized the necessity of preaching the gospel and sharing the message of Jesus with others. God has placed that upon me. Now, how other people deal with it, I don't know. If they decide not to preach, if they decide to put it aside, I don't know how they handle that. I don't know what God has done with them. But I know with me that when I go for a short period of time without preaching, I just well up inside, and I've just got to find some place to go and tell somebody about Jesus. That's just a necessity that's placed on me. And he said, woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel. That woe being that punishment or that chastisement or that feeling of emptiness because that I'm not doing what God has said for me to do. So I have a responsibility, and a man that's called of God to preach has that responsibility. Again, how other people handle it, I don't know, but I just know I have difficulty when it comes to not preaching and trying to put it aside or trying to put it off or anything. So I just have learned the lesson of preaching whenever the opportunity is there. That's something that I was asking my ordination. Would I preach every time that I was given an opportunity to? And I said I would, and I have since then. But there are people that will shun those opportunities and turn them aside. I've not taken that lightly. Sometimes preachers especially, and sometimes other people with preachers, will kid about them preaching suddenly somewhere and say, well, you want to preach or whatever. I've never turned down that opportunity. Somebody says, you want to preach? I said, sure. If I think they're kidding, I might banter back with them. But in my mind, I'm already thinking, what can I preach on? Lord, if you want me to preach, what can I say? I take that opportunity. I've gone to churches and I've been asked to preach when I go there and just take up the responsibility God gives, things that we need to say. But woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. I wish that people would take that to heart, to think that if I don't tell somebody about Jesus that I'm going to be punished. I'm going to suffer some kind of consequence because I have failed to tell somebody about Jesus. Now, I fail more often in that regard on one-on-one talking to somebody about Jesus than I have from public preaching. Because public preaching is just something that just comes to me. I just do it. It's much harder sometimes one-on-one with people to be able to really find the right thing to say to somebody. But still, I feel that emptiness if I fail to do that when the opportunity presents itself. So woe unto me if I preach not the gospel, if I don't share it. That's the attitude I wish that all of our preachers would have, because that's what the Apostle Paul said. He also said in the Roman letter in the first chapter when he was writing to them, and he never had been to Rome at that time. He said, I was hoping to come to Rome. But he said in the 15th verse, for as much as me or in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He said, as much as it is in me, I'm ready to come preach there. That's the attitude that I try to have, and I've always had, really. I say always, most of all of my ministerial life after I learned not to turn God down, is that whatever God has given me, just like Paul wrote to Timothy, to be instant in season and out of season, whether you're prepared or not at a particular time, if we internalize the gospel, we'll be prepared. We can find exactly what needs to be said. God can bring it out of us and use us if we'll just take up the responsibility and go forward with it. But he says, as much as in me is, I'm ready to come preach there too. I know of preachers that won't go preach at certain places because somebody said they don't like them over there or whatever. I would thrill at the opportunity to go somewhere to preach to somebody different. And I've taken those opportunities when they've been made available to me. And I've wondered many times when I've heard preachers say, well, you know, they asked me to come preach over there, but I thought, you know, they was afraid what their church might think or what somebody else might. I'm afraid what God would think if I didn't go preach and I was given the opportunity to go share what I believe. I don't have to go preach what they believe. I don't have to go preach and go along with them. But if I'm given the opportunity to go preach what God gives me to preach, then that's what I need to do. And that's the same thing when we're working one-on-one with people. It doesn't matter what their background is, what their belief is. We just share what we know inside of us, what we have internalized in the Word of God through the witness of the Spirit of God within us. And we just share that with people and let God take it and make something out of it. The Apostle Paul said, all I did is spread the word. I planted, polished water, but God gave the increase. God is going to take care of what we do if we just do what he wants us to do. And he'll take care of what comes out of it. But Paul said, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek, or to also to the Greek. And that's why that he wanted to preach, because it's the power of God unto salvation. It's the means by which that people have knowledge that they are lost and they need to be saved. The preaching of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that's what has an effect upon people's hearts. Now, certainly a lot of people's not going to believe it in their mind, and they're not going to take it too hard. But without the knowledge of the message of Jesus Christ, they'll have no opportunity whatsoever at salvation. Because even though that their heart might let them know that there's something wrong and they're lacking, and they're responsible for that, if they don't know about Jesus, they can't know what to do. And so it's our job to tell people about Jesus and to share what he has given us to share with other people, and not be ashamed of that, not be ashamed of what he's done for us. Oh, it might seem old fogey to some. It might seem backwards to some. It might be something that doesn't meet with the ideas that people might have, that they might reject it altogether, but that's their problem if they do that. They'll have to take that up with God. It's our job just to not be ashamed and tell people about what Jesus has done for us and what he can do for them, and to share that message with them. We have the responsibility to do that whenever and wherever that we can, to let people know about this man Jesus and what he has for them. When God was speaking to Ezekiel, he said, it don't matter whether they believe you or not, whether they take this word and adhere to it, or if they reject it, just that they're going to know that a prophet's been in their midst. That's something that we need to do. When we testify to people, have the power of the Spirit of God with us, so that whether they believe it or not, they'll know there's something about us that's different, because we have God with us. We have a presence of his Spirit. And if people can get a grasp of that, they have a chance of believing what we have to say, that they might know that God is with us. How many times have I heard that in testimonies? I didn't have what they had. I didn't have what that person told me about Jesus had. And I recognized that there was a difference. And that difference made them realize that they needed to do something about their condition and believe the message that was given. Let us take up our responsibilities to share Jesus this time of year. That we refer to Christmas season, and of course the turmoil that's come about in the last number of years about calling it Christmas, or the politically correct saying that, well, we can't say Christmas because that indicates a particular religious standpoint, and what. It doesn't matter. We just need to talk about Jesus. If people don't like it, let them go somewhere and do what they want to do with what they believe. But we shouldn't shirk the responsibility of telling about Jesus. We shouldn't hold back on letting them know that we believe in Jesus and we believe in salvation through him. So let us not be ashamed of Jesus and what he means in the Christmas season. Now, there's a lot that we could talk about in Christmas, and where the terminology even came from. The Bible doesn't tell us that we're supposed to remember his birth. It doesn't even tell us we're supposed to remember his resurrection, other than in the scriptures that refer to it. The only thing that we're to give as a memorial is to his death, the fact that he died for our sins. And we do that in communion, that we give recognition and memorial to that. But we can take the advantage of the awareness of people in this season that Jesus came into the world. Of course, a lot of the the season is all about the material things and all about the gift giving and all about the fantasies that go along with it and have nothing to do with Jesus. And so many people actually celebrate Christmas and have no concept of what it's about. But we need to not shirk our responsibility in telling people what it's about. And it's about a Savior that came into the world and gave his life that we might have eternal life. Let us let people know that. Take up our cross. Take up the responsibility of sharing Jesus with others. But we need to know that information within us. We need to know that witness of the Spirit. And we need to know the witness of the Scripture about Jesus so that we can share that with others. God help us to do that. And that's our message. I don't know what benefit it is for us, but that's what was on our heart today. If you're here and unsaved, the message of Jesus is still the same. The salvation comes through him to those that believe, that have repentance for their sin of unbelief and have faith in Jesus Christ, the salvation of their soul. And it's available to all that will come to him under those conditions. Is your heart right with God? Is your heart in good shape? Is your soul in good shape? Those that are saved, your souls are good. If your soul is not good, it's because you don't have God. Because God is good. And if you have God in your heart through his Son, Jesus Christ, by the witness of the Holy Spirit, then you have goodness in your heart. And you have the presence of a witness and a testimony and a knowledge that everything is all right. May God help you if you don't have that, because you can find it today if you'll trust in it. Always a good place to come and pray, and we're glad to pray with anybody that needs the Lord. But you have to search out your own heart and find what your condition is and seek the Lord accordingly. Let's have a song as an opportunity is given for you to consider your soul's condition.
Turn to page number 107, sing the first and last verse. Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. If you spurn the invitation till the Spirit shall depart, then you'll see your sad condition, unprepared to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for you summer,
I prayed for Brett. It's a long and hard that I had no words left. I gave it up to the God. I just put him in God's hands. I fell asleep. I got up the next morning and I promised God that I'd do anything he wanted me to do. He'd bring Brett back to church. So when I woke up the next morning, the Lord said, I don't need you to do anything. It's in my hands. You just have faith. Well, I've kept that faith, not as strong as I'd like to, because sometimes I think, well, then why aren't you answering it? Why aren't you here? Lord's just kind of working at it, one piece of the puzzle at a time. And Thursday, when the Secret Sisters was at the house, we were sitting around the table, and something was said about the Christmas program, and I said, I don't think there'd be very many people there, just all doom and gloom. Cindy said she kind of felt the same way. There, she and I were just doomed. And I told Bertha, I said, it's not going to be nobody there. And I thought, why should I even food, cooking anything and bringing it? Nobody cares. So Friday morning, as probably most of you know, I don't sleep a lot. So I woke up sometime at around 1 o'clock, made some coffee and went down on the couch and I was going to read. Just could not get interested in the book. So I thought, well, I'll play some bingo on the computer. I didn't like that either. So I just walked around the house and I prayed. I kept saying, Lord, show me a sign. Just show me something. Show me something. By 4 o'clock, I was still praying and walking. I was sitting on the front porch. I said, Lord, what's wrong? What do we need to do? What's wrong? 5:30, I brought Bart a cup of coffee and woke him up and said, I need to talk. I told him the way I was feeling. I said, so what's wrong? And I don't know how we talked, but we talked. And finally it hit me. The Lord said, don't you give up. You can't give up. Don't you give up on this Christmas program. Don't you give up on the Women's Fellowship, the Secret Sisters. Don't you give up. Don't you give up on Brett or the others. And he said, you tell Sandy not to give up. Don't you give up on this Christmas program. You really say the one. We may only have 4 participating tonight, but you know, Lord can use those folks. Women's Fellowship, we didn't have very many last time, but you know, we get back. Next time we may have a whole house full. We don't know. But the Lord don't want us to give up, and he showed me that, and it just shocked me. And I begged the Lord, just give me a sign that you're working with Brett. Just give me a sign. Well, he's brought a wonderful young lady into Brett's life. I believe God brought Jessica to him. He showed Jennifer that she needs to do her part. Jennifer and Brett seem to be having a better relationship. And you know, Brett is one, like, I guess a lot of teenagers, they check text a lot, but if any of us text him, you might get an answer and you may not. Most of the time you don't. Or if you do get one, it's one word. So the 5th Sunday, Susan Kuhn was sitting here and she told me, she asked me about Brett. She always asked about him. And she told me to tell Brett that she was going to have heart surgery. And I told her, okay, I would. But I didn't. I thought, Brett's, he probably don't care anyway. Because my faith was weak, you see. So that Friday morning when I couldn't do anything, I said, I got to tell him. So I texted him, and I told him. I said, you remember Susan? I said, she's asked about you all the time. She wanted me to tell you she's having heart surgery. And I thought, I would get an answer. Well, I didn't all day. So I thought, well, he's not going to answer me. Then I think it was yesterday. I took my phone off charge, and there was a message from him. Susan, he told me in a message.
For the Maverick, Mammal sent on her really heavily. And I listen to Brenda and I think about my own children, our own children. And I remember where Billy and I were. And we were really in bad shape. And most of you heard that story now. I mean, we were in bad shape. But you know, there was this woman, this sweet, precious woman, that never gave up. And she kept coming to church. She kept doing what she needed to do. She kept walking that fine line and allowing us to watch it. Maybe she didn't say a whole lot. She didn't have to. She didn't have to because her walk said enough. And she never gave up. And I can tell you what, we're not perfect today, and we never will be, but we're a long way from where we were when we were in our 20s and 30s. A long way. Because she didn't give up. So you can bet I'm not giving up. It's too much to lose here. We're not supposed to give up because people like Mammal carried the cross, and we have to continue on. You know, we can't change their lives, but we can walk our walk so that they can see what the right way to live is. They can see that in us, and that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. Mammal wasn't perfect. She made mistakes, just like we do. However, she knew where her Lord was, and I knew it too. And I knew where her priorities stood, and I knew what was most important. So we just keep doing what we know we're supposed to be doing. And yeah, we're going to slip up from time to time, and they're going to see us do that. But we're going to keep trying, because that's what we're supposed to do. He saved our soul is the very least we can do.
Yeah. Amen. Days ago, I was thinking about the fact that we have so few children at any level as far as that goes that we would call children involved in our Christmas program. And I was trying to pray about that. And I'm not going to say that the Lord told me this, but it came to my mind anyway, whether it's in my heart. Be up to me, I guess, as to what we do about it. But I thought next year we'll have 20 children in our Christmas program. That's not unreasonable. If we do our work diligently in the community, we can find one here and one there, and at least it'll add up. That's just part of the work that we've got to do. And I'm really looking forward to our program tonight. It's simple. It's relatively short. But again, if the Lord's in it, it can mean a whole lot to us. And I'm looking forward to it. Anyone else? We're going to have a Christmas program practice following the service. The service tonight at 6 o'clock. So everybody try to plan on coming back as many we can. And we'll just enjoy some fellowship together. And most of all, us come with the expectation of fellowshipping with God in the service. All our tonight's clear. Our heads will be dismissed. Dear God, we approach you with thankfulness. sweetness of the Spirit of God that dwells within us. We're thankful, Lord. This church and for the relationship we've developed as people. We're thankful, Lord, for the efforts that are put forth. We pray that you give us greater faith that we can look forward to bigger things happening. Because we know that you're capable, that you're willing. You give us those things that we have need of. We just pray for the grace to keep it on. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless the efforts put forth for the Christmas program and for whatever good that it might do, that you would honor it. That you'd bless the hearts of the people that participate and those that observe. And Lord, may it be a time of refreshing for us as we think about Jesus leaving the throne of glory, taking flesh upon himself, coming into this world for our benefit. Lord, bless the requests that have been made this day. Bless those that need help. Have mercy upon the lost, for we know your mercy is available to them if they'll trust you. And we just pray, Lord, that you dismiss us in peace. Bless us as we look forward to greater things occurring as we serve you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You haven't got your Christmas cards or something out there.
Mom's here. Mom's here.